Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya arhamar rahimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us His love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of those actions that will gain His love. And we ask Allah for the love of those people who love Him, inshaAllah ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, jazakumullahu khair. Thank you for joining me this evening for our class on Tariqul Hijratain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, I swear by time, indeed mankind is in loss, except for those who believe, do righteous actions, enjoin one another to the truth, and enjoin or encourage one another to have patience. Today, brothers and sisters, I want to talk about the concept of sabr. And I want to read from Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi's Tariq al-Hijratain on what he talks about sabr, the concept of what we normally translate as patience. And the reason why I say normally translate is because by the time this class is over, I'm hoping that you'll get a deeper understanding for the concept of sabr that is far beyond the word patience. When you look into how scholars have discussed the word sabr, they normally break down sabr, or sabr, we won't translate it as patience, but for now, they normally break down patience into three different types of patience. The number one type is sabr alal balaya, or musiba, which is patience whenever a calamity hits you. So, you know, you stub your toe when you're walking out of the room, and like, you know, at that moment, you just kind of like control yourself. You're like, alhamdulillah, I'm good. I'll get through it. You know, that's sabr on a musiba. You lose a loved one, right? That's a major calamity, right? So you have patience during that moment. You hold it. And what do we mean by patience? We're talking about not, you know, losing the pleasure of Allah in that moment, right? And so, for example, you know, the Prophet ﷺ's grandson had passed away. The Prophet ﷺ's son had passed away. And, you know, he was crying. And he literally said, like, "Inna al-ayna tadma wal-qalbu yahzan wa la naqulu illa ma yarḍa rabbuna." Like, our eyes will shed tears and our heart will be in pain, but we will only speak things that please Allah. Like, in that moment, you're not going to start saying things like, why is this happening, Allah, so on and so forth, right? So that's sabr alal ma'siyah, patience whenever a calamity hits. Now, there's two more types of patience. The next type of patience is considered patience ala ta'ah, patience to do upon doing good deeds. The patience it takes, or the self-restraint it takes to push oneself to righteous deeds, right? And so we just take something as simple as Fajr Salah, right? The morning prayer, early morning, right? Before the sun is rising, right? That takes a level of sabr, meaning you have to push off the desire for sleep and you have to push yourself towards the prayer. And that takes sabr, that takes control or self-restraint. And this is why I said, like, you shouldn't really translate sabr as patience, because the word patience doesn't fit there, right? But that is a type of sabr. Sabr upon doing good deeds, that I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna stick to it, I'm gonna force myself to do it, because this is what's good for my heart, this is what's good for my soul, right? So that's sabr ala ta'a. The last category is the one I want to talk about with you today, inshallah ta'ala. The last category is called sabr anil ma'siyah. Sabr, or patience, from disobedience and sins. disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'asi, sins. Now, it takes a level of control. It takes a level of sabr and self-restraint to not do haram, to not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that last one is the one I want to read from Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi today. And you'll be able to see it on your screen right now, inshallah. We're going to look at this book and see what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala says regarding sabr anil ma'siyah, which is the sabr or patience it takes to refrain from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I really think today's lesson will be very beneficial for us, inshallah ta'ala. So take notes and listen closely, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let it be, you know, soul food for our hearts, inshallah ta'ala. Bismillah. Qa'ida. As-sabr anil ma'siyah yansha'u min asbab adida. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, he says that the patience it takes to refrain from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes from various different sources, meaning there are different sources where we're going to be able to learn or develop or build the ability to refrain from sins, to have sabr and not fall into sins. So let's go through those right now. He says, number one, and this isn't hierarchical order. This isn't the order of like, which is most important. He's just listing 7 or 8 different ways that you can gain the ability to refrain from sins. And it's extremely beautiful. And so the reason I like this is because, you know, so many times you'll hear a lecture where somebody's like, yo, that's haram, you shouldn't do that. Or even you know yourself, you're like, yo, I shouldn't do this. This isn't, Allah doesn't like this thing. But you can't stop yourself. You can't hold yourself back. You can't refrain from that thing. So how do you actually do that? Well, this is beautiful because now when you read the works of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, you're able to say, okay, this is the area I need to work on so that I can develop that capacity to have patience, sabr anil ma'siyah, to avoid sins, right? So let's look at the first one. So we're talking about the things that will allow us to have sabr anil ma'siyah, or patience to avoid sins. Number one, the Musannaf rahimahullah, he says, علم العبد بقبحه قبحها ورذائلتها ودناءتها وأن الله إنما حرمها ونهى عنها صيانة لعبده وحماية عن الدناية والرضايا كما يحمي الوالد الشفيق ولده عما يضر وهذا السبب يحمل العاقل على تركها ولو لم يعلق عليها وعيد بالعذاب. The first cause or the first means by which we can build the ability to refrain from sins, he says, when you develop knowledge within yourself of how wretched, how evil, how low that sin is, and the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only made that thing haram, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only prohibited me from that thing to protect me from that wretched thing and to protect me from that low thing. And then he says something extremely beautiful. He says, "Kama yahmil walidu ash-shafiq waladahu," the same way a loving father, a caring father, protects their beloved son or daughter from something that is harmful. So what he's saying here is just this knowledge of how bad the sin is, how harmful that thing actually is. Knowledge of that, he says, that alone. Subhanallah, he says, وَهَذَا السَّبَبُ. He's like, in this cause alone, a person who's intelligent, it would be enough for an intelligent person to refrain from the sin just knowing this cause alone. Even if there was no threat of a punishment, no threat of hellfire, no threat of qiyamah, if that wasn't there and you just knew how bad this sin was and that the only reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited that thing is because he's protecting you from something that will destroy you. You look at something like zina, subhanallah, right? Like zina is something in our culture that has just become just am. It's like nothing. It's like taking a Tic Tac or gum. It's nothing in our culture, in our society that we live in. But we can see what happens to families. We can see what happens to people. We can see what happens to society when zina is just so rampant, right? We can see the breakdown of families. We can see so much right before our eyes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like, see what I protected you from? You see what I'm protecting you from? You see what everybody else is getting caught up in? You see the problems with pregnancy? You see the problems with STDs? You see the problems with all of these different things that come? Do you see that? That is what I'm protecting you from. So if we just realize that it's the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his love for us that is telling us to refrain from that thing, that alone should be enough for us to say, yo, I'm going to stay away from this sin because this is not good for me. This is harmful for me, right? And so that's the first one, alhamdulillah. And so building our understanding of the harms of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, he says this will be a major source and a means by which you can build sabr anil ma'siyah, the ability to refrain from sins. All right, let's go to the next one, inshallah ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah, he says, as-sabab al-thani, he says, as-sabab al-thani al-haya, as-sabab al-thani al-haya'u min Allahi azza wa jal, fa'inna al-abd mata'alima binadrihi ilayhi wa maqamihi alayhi wa annahu bimari'in minhu مستمع وكان حي وكان حيا حييا استحياء من ربه أن يتعرض لمساخته. He says the second thing that will cause a person to have sabr عن المعصية, or this ability to refrain from sins, is haya. And haya is a beautiful concept in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ spoke about haya in so many hadith. You know, the Quran speaks about haya. Haya, the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith, he said that as haya increases in something, the beauty in that thing increases as well. And haya is a tough word to translate, but basically haya is this shyness, some people use modesty, but it's more of a shyness. And so, you know, like, subhanAllah, let me give you an example. You know, like, you ever been somewhere you're not supposed to be and like, the last person you wanted to see you pops up at that spot or drives past? You know what I mean? You at a spot that you don't want to be in, right? You know, you're shopping, or I'll give you a better one. You're shopping for something that you don't want people to know you're shopping for. You know what I mean? Like the level of haya that you have at that moment. You know, like I could tell y'all something funny that happened to me, but you know, whatever. I'm just going to leave it. But I was at the mall with my wife one time. And we passed by a particular store, and one of the sisters from the community, she was in that store, right? And the avoidance of eye contact was hilarious, right? Absolutely hilarious, because there's a level of like shyness, haya, like, oh my God, don't see me here, that the person feels when somebody sees them in an awkward place. So that's haya, right? That's haya. You're like, you're ashamed in a way, a shameful, bashful shamefulness that a person has, right? And I would be more specific, but my wife is going to probably call me out after this, whatever. You know, we were shopping for something and that sister was in the store too. And it was just super, super awkward for everybody, right? Everyone's like looking around like, you know, like we don't see each other. So anyways, so my point is, he says that haya, that quality of bashfulness, shame that a person feels before other people, like that happens. When you develop that quality before Allah, like I don't want Allah to see me in this state, this concept, this understanding. Like why was that sister avoiding eye contact with us? Because she saw that I could see her, we could see her, right? So when we have knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us, and you're sitting there in a spot, in a situation, doing something that you're not supposed to do, you're literally like, oh my God, Allah is watching me in this moment. And what you want to develop in your heart is this haya, this shamefulness that I don't want Allah to see me in this state. And so he says, the second thing, brothers and sisters, al-haya min Allah, like developing haya or shame, or again, this like again, that word, that shamefulness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He sees you and is watching you and is listening to you, you know, like doing what you're not supposed to. And subhanAllah, like we have it, but we don't use it in the right place. You know, we have it when it comes to other people. Like we have it at work. Like we have haya, like somebody see you on your computer doing something you're not supposed to do. You have that haya that I don't want my coworkers to see me. What he's trying to say is you need to develop that haya with Allah. Like, I don't want Allah to see me at this spot. I don't want Allah to see me in this particular situation. So that same ability or thing within us, which is haya, we want to direct that towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's number two. That's the second cause for sabr anil ma'siyah, or avoiding sins. Let's do number three, inshallah ta'ala. Number three. As-sabab al-thalith. He says, mura'ati ni'amihi alayka. Wallahi, I love this one, guys. This one is so beautiful. He says, mura'atu ni'amihi alayka. Wa ihsanihi ilayka. فَإِنَّ الذُّنُوبَ تَزِيلُ النِّعَمْ وَلَا بُدَّ. Listen closely, brothers and sisters. He says, this third thing that will cause or grow within you, sabr anil ma'siya, the ability to avoid sins, is to consider, reflect upon, think about the ni'mas or blessings of Allah upon you. وَإِحْسَانِهِ إِلَيْكَ. And all of the ihsan and goodness and excellence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown you. What he's saying here, he's like, yo, forget the punishment, forget the fear, forget all that. If you want to stop sinning, just stop and look at every blessing that you have. Take a moment and look, subhanAllah, look at this, look at that, look at that. Count all these blessings. And that alone is something that will create this desire to avoid sins within you. Beautiful, beautiful point. And then he says, now this is heavy. He goes, فَإِنَّ الذُّنُوبَ تَزِيلُ النِّعَمْ وَلَا بُدَّ. He says, sins will take away blessings. وَلَا بُدَّ. Without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. He says, فَمَا أَذْنَبَ عَبْدٌ ذَنْبًا. Anytime a slave of Allah commits a sin, illa zalat anhu ni'matun min Allah, except that sin takes away one blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One blessing is taken away. Bihasbi dhalika dhanb, in accordance to that particular sin. Fa in taba, if the person does toba, if the person repents, ya Allah, forgive me. I mean, all of us are sinners, man. We all have shortcomings. Who here is perfect? Nobody. But he says, fa in taba, if the person does toba, seeks repentance, wa raja'a, and goes back to Allah, raja'at ilayhi, then the blessing comes back. Wallahi, when I read this, I was like, subhanAllah, what he's telling us is every time you commit those small sins, one blessing of yours, see, we look at it like, okay, I did a sin, there's some negativity coming to me, but I'm still good. But what he's saying is like, no, you misunderstood. Whenever a sin comes, a blessing leaves that is proportionate to the sin that you committed. Now you do toba, the blessing comes back. But if you persist, when in asarra lam tarji ilay, if you persist, that blessing doesn't come back. And he says, wala tazalu dhunub. Sins will continually take away your blessings. Ni'matan, ni'matan, ni'matan. Hatta yuslabu ni'ma kulla. Until you have no blessings left at all. Qala ta'ala, inna allaha la yughayiru ma bi qawmin hatta yughayiru ma bi anfusihim. Allah says, indeed Allah does not change the state of a person until they change themselves. You know, yo, this verse is deep. Most people think that this verse means that in Allah, Allah won't change you to better until you change yourself. That's not what this verse means. This verse means you already have blessings. Allah won't take those blessings away until you start taking those blessings away yourself. I hope y'all feel me on that, because that's heavy.
You're already surrounded by blessings, and you will keep those blessings until you yourself start to take those blessings away. What do you mean, Sheikh? How do I take the blessings away? Look what he's saying. Every sin you commit, you're taking blessings away. And guess what the greatest blessing is? Guess what the greatest blessing is? وَأَعْذَمُ النِّعَمْ الْإِيمَانِ The greatest blessing that you and me have is faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, iman. The greatest blessing that me and you have is faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And guess what? If we keep sinning, then eventually we may lose that. Eventually we may lose that blessing as well. And that's the greatest blessings of all blessings. And then he says, وَذَنْبُ الزِّنَى The sin of fornication, stealing, drinking alcohol, stealing, تَزِيلُهَا It takes away faith. Now, that doesn't mean if you commit zina, you're a non-Muslim. Nah, there's a hadith. This is crazy. The hadith says, whenever a person commits zina or steals, while the person is doing the act, their iman leaves their body and goes above them. Until they stop, that iman comes back. Because the iman is like, I can't be present with this sin. I can't be in the same vessel as this sin. Zina, stealing, alcohol, things like that. Major sins. And so to me, this is heavy, man. Because number one, by seeing the blessings, you realize what you're losing. One of the sisters is asking to repeat that last narration. The Prophet ﷺ said, whenever you commit zina, na'udhubillah, or drink alcohol or major sin like steal, the iman, your faith, comes out of you. It leaves you. And the hadith says it goes above your head like a cloud until you stop the sin. And then the iman comes back. The iman comes back. The point of this section right now, brothers and sisters, is like, the more you study and appreciate the blessings that you have, the more powerful the sins will be in your mind, because you'll realize that they're taking away these great blessings that you have. And so it protects your blessings to study and realize that you have blessings, but it also stops you from sinning, because now you know the equation. Sins take away blessings one by one. Just sit on that for a moment. It's really, really heavy. Just sit on that for a moment. And subhanAllah, man. SubhanAllah. You know, I was just thinking, you know, when it comes to drug addiction, yo, I was just thinking, you ever see, like, I don't know if you ever see, but seen on like Instagram or somewhere, I don't know, wherever, but like, you ever seen what like drugs do to people's like skin? You ever see like how in such a short time the body is just like eaten up by the drugs that this person is addicted to? You see like people addicted to meth and other crack, like, you see like how that drug just eats at their skin and eats at their beauty. And subhanAllah, beyond just making them look old, exactly, man. Like, and so the reason I'm bringing that up is when you realize the effect of sin, that it pulls away blessings, you realize all of these blessings, beautiful skin, you know, a healthy body, all of these are great blessings, intellect, but those sins, they just take all of those away. And so just remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ Allah does not take away your blessings until you yourself start to take them away. It's heavy, man. It's heavy. SubhanAllah. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ Let me go to the next page. He's not done with this one. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ Some of the pious predecessors used to say,
أذنبت ذنبا فحرمت قيام الليل سنة. He says that one of the pious predecessors said, I committed one sin. And due to that one sin, I lost the ability to pray to Hajj for a year. For a year. Now you may be like, hold on, that's high level stuff right there. But for me and you, maybe the reason why we lost the ability, see, hold on, let's reset for a moment. One of the greatest blessings that we have is our worship of Allah. It gives us peace, tranquility. It gives us connection with our Creator. There's so much depth in the ibadah. Like, you're not worshiping cars. You're not worshiping money. You're not worshiping music. You're not worshiping fame. You're worshiping Allah. And when you worship Allah, you start to realize there is no greater blessing than being able to do a sajda to Allah, yo. And the reason why I say that is because everybody's doing sajda to something. But you and me, we do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you realize how great of a blessing a sajda is to Allah, then you start to realize one of the greatest blessings you have is subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla. You're like, yo, alhamdulillah. And that's why they say, you know, you should say alhamdulillah for being able to say alhamdulillah. You feel me? You should be saying alhamdulillah for your ability to say alhamdulillah. You should be thanking Allah for the ability to worship Him and know who He is. And it's a never-ending cycle, because if you should say alhamdulillah for your ability to say alhamdulillah, then you should say alhamdulillah for your ability to say alhamdulillah for the alhamdulillah. And it just keeps going. You become a grateful soul. You become it just keeps going. But the reason I said that is because this person realized that there is no greater blessing than my standing at night worshiping Allah. I'm going to be real. Some of us worship is like a burden. It's like a burden. But it's only a burden because you're trying to hold too many other things in your hands. When you let go of other stuff and let Allah take care of other stuff, then you realize that your ibadah frees you, not traps you. It's heavy. So our ibadah is one of the greatest worships, that blessings that we have. And so he says, وَقَالَ آخَرَ, another person said, أَذْنَبْتُ ذَنْبًا, I committed one sin, فَحُرِّمْتُ فَحْمَ الْقُرْآنِ, and I lost the ability to understand the depths and deep meanings of the Quran. So the meaning, the gist of this, brothers and sisters, is like, these sins take blessings away from you. And one of the greatest blessings is your ability to obey Allah. And so the only way to bring those blessings back after is to do tawbah. Now, I'm going to speak on something that's real. One of the things I notice on social media a lot is a lot of like people that got just, you know, a lot of followers doing tutorials on different crazy stuff. They start passing fatwa saying this is allowed. You could do this. One thing I want to say is this. I know I'm a sinner, yo. And low key, I know my sins, yo. And that's a blessing. To know your sins is a blessing. You know what's worse than sinning and knowing your sins? Sinning and thinking you're good. Justifying them. As long as you know that's a sin, you'll always eventually get to the point where you do tawbah, repentance. But the moment you start saying, oh no, it's all good, yo. I went on Google and Sheikh Google told me it's all right, it's cool. Now you never do tawbah. So now how can you get your blessings back? You never did tawbah. Why didn't you do tawbah? Well, because you justified it. You justified it. And so the one thing I wanted to say is like, yo, keep your sins sins. That way, Allah will eventually give you the ability to seek forgiveness. Keep your sins as sins. Don't publicize them. Don't post them to make it seem like it's all good. No, a sin is a sin. A sin is a sin. And leave it that way so that eventually you'll be able to do tawbah from it. So he says, وَبِلْ جُمْلَةً. He's wrapping this point up. He says, وَبِلْ جُمْلَةً. فَإِنَّ الْمَعَاسِ نَارُ النِّعَمْ. He says, sins are the fire that burns blessings. كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبُ. The same way the fire eats wood, consumes wood. That's the way blessings are consumed by sins. May Allah give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly give us the ability to realize we keep our blessings, and the only thing that takes blessings away is our disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. Let's just do a few more, inshallah ta'ala. Right? A few more. As-sababu rabi', the fourth thing that causes sabr anil ma'siyah, the ability to stay away from sins. The fourth thing is خوف الله وخشية عقابه. Fear of Allah and fear of His punishment. He says, وَهَذَا إِنَّمَا يَثْبُتُ. The only way you will develop this fear is by establishing true certainty in the promise of Allah and true certainty in the threat of Allah. True iman in Allah, true iman in the Quran, and true iman on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The moment you truly reach this level of sincerity and certainty, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after yaqeen, there is nothing greater you can ask for after yaqeen than afiyah. The greatest thing you can ask for, the greatest thing you can ask for is yaqeen, which is certainty. So he says, as you increase in certainty, then that fear of Allah increases. And that fear of Allah is something that will help you have sabr anil ma'siyah, have sabr, patience to avoid sins. And he says, but how do you increase certainty? He says, وَهَذَا السَّبَبْ يُقَوِّي بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْيَقِينِ. The more knowledge you have of Allah, the more knowledge you have of the Book of Allah, and the more knowledge you have of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this will increase your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, the people of knowledge truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number four is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last one for today, brothers and sisters. Number five, cause. Oh, my bad, yo. I'm not changing it on Instagram. Here we go. Some of y'all want to read along, I know. Okay. As-sabab al-khamis. Oh, my bad. Oh, you know what, Instagram? I don't think I got this. I don't think I got it. It's all good. You can just listen to it, inshallah. The fifth cause of sabr anil ma'siyah, the fifth cause that will protect us and give us the ability to refrain from sins. Now, this is heavy. Please listen to this one. We're going to conclude after this one, right? We're going to conclude after this one. This is beautiful. Muhabbatullah subhana, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look what he says next. Wahiya min aqwa asbab. It is the strongest cause for your patience from sins, your ability. It's love of Allah. Fa innal muhib liman yuhibba muti', because the one who loves someone, they develop obedience of the one that they love. وَكُلَّمَا, he says, the more you increase the love within your heart, كَانَ اِقْتِضَاءُهُ لِطَاعَةِ وَتَرْكِ الْمُخَالِفَةِ. The more you increase love, the more you build the thing that will cause obedience, and you build that which will push away disobedience. He says, anytime disobedience comes, I know this is a heavy hit, yo. When I read this, I was like, yo, subhanAllah, this is hitting me in the heart. He says, innama tasdurul ma'siyah, indeed the sins only come min du'fil muhabbati, from weak love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Weak love. And so what he's saying, guys, all right, here, what he's saying here, he's like, you gotta build love. You gotta build love in your heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You gotta go outside and look at the sunset. You gotta look at the sunset and see the beauty of Allah. You gotta fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. And that love of Allah will trump every other love. And when that love comes, you yourself won't want to do the things that can possibly break your relationship with your beloved. That's the key, that love of Allah. And how do you build that love? Well, let's read a bit more. Look what he says. You can look at the screen on Instagram. You can see it in alhamdulillah on Facebook. You guys can see it too on YouTube. وَفَرْقٌ بَيْنَ مَنْ يَحْمِلُهُ. Look at this. He says, and there is a difference between the one who avoids disobedience based on fear of a punishment and the one who avoids disobedience based on love. He's like, this is why Umar, you guys know Umar bin Khattab, right? Umar bin Khattab, he used to say, ni'ma al-ab Suhaib, Suhaib al-Rumi. He was called Rumi, right? The Roman, Suhaib the Roman. He was a fair-skinned Sahabi from the north, right? His name was Suhaib al-Rumi. Umar bin Khattab, he used to say, what a great man Suhaib is. لَوْ لَمْ يَخِفِ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَعْسِي. He used to say, if he never feared Allah, he still wouldn't disobey Allah. Well, hold on. Let me say that again. If he never feared Allah, if he had no fear of Allah, he still wouldn't disobey Allah. يعني أنه لو لم يخف من الله, if he did not fear Allah, لكان في قلبه محبة لله ما يمنع من المعصية. He had so much love in his heart that his love for Allah would be enough to stop him from sinning. فالمحب الصادق عليه رقيب من محبوبه يَرْعَى قَلْبَهُ وَجَوَارِبَهُ. True loves places upon your shoulder this thing watching you that you don't disobey the one that you love. And so that's what he's explaining here. I love this point on love because it really gives us hope that, listen, build and develop your love for Allah. You know what our problem is? You know what our issue is, brothers and sisters? We got so many other things that we fell in love with that we don't got no room in our heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You gotta get that other stuff out of your heart. You gotta get the love for all of these other things, attention, you know, whatever it may be. We got a whole bunch of things that we love. And you can like stuff, you can enjoy stuff, but guess what, man? Your heart is an empty vessel that Allah created. It can be filled with anything. Hear me out on this. We're done after this. Your heart is an empty vessel. It can be filled with anything you want. You can fill it with love of movies, love of novels, love of knowledge. You can fill it with love of Netflix. You can fill it with love of dance and music. And there are a million things in the world that you can fill your love with, your heart with love of. But guess what? Whatever you fill your heart with, it's still going to feel like it's not filled. Because your heart was created because it was the only vessel that could contain the love of God. Your heart is the only thing in the creation of God that on this dunya that can contain and hold love of Allah. But you took this sacred vessel, and you filled it with dirt, yo. Literally dirt. You filled it with love of wealth, love of cars, love of houses, love of da-da-da-da, love of pleasure. You took this heart, which was sacred, And we filled it with junk, yo. We filled it with junk. And he's like, yo, so where do I get love? You got to stop loving all that other stuff, man. You got to spend time reflecting, connecting. Spend time talking to Allah, man. When's the last time you talked to Allah? When's the last time you sat down, turned off every device, sat down by yourself and was like, Ya Allah, I love you. Ya Allah, you created me. You gave me life. Ya Allah, this life is short, man. I'm already 30 something. Man, Ya Allah. How beautiful are you, Allah? You created beauty. How beautiful you must be, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, will I ever get to see you? SubhanAllah. You feel me? This is the developing love of Allah. And once you develop that love, you can't love someone you don't spend time with them. You want to spend time with Allah, you'll build love of Allah. And that's what we need to develop in our hearts, brothers and sisters. We're going to end it here, inshallah. For those who just joined, I'll share the lecture on my page so you can listen to it. This will be on our podcast. Qalam Podcast is having some technical difficulties right now, guys. So if you're an avid listener to our podcast, we ask you for patience because they're having some difficulties right now with the podcast. But inshallah, it will be back up soon, inshallah ta'ala. But you can check YouTube. You can check Instagram. You can check Facebook. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to refrain from sins. I think if I just reflected with y'all, the thing that really hit my heart today, there were two things. Number one, realizing that sins take away blessings of Allah. That hit me, yo. Sins take away blessings. Sins take away blessings. And number two, the thing that really hit me was this love right here, yo. This love. Building a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shed some tears, talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know? And that will build your love. Your heart is a vessel that should only be filled with the love of the divine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept y'all, inshallah. Thank you so much for joining me on this Wednesday evening. May Allah accept us, inshallah. And I guess that's it. I'll see you guys next week, Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. All right? Love you all for the sake of Allah. And may Allah grant you His love and give us all the ability to stay away from sins, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.